So that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might overflow. This is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. There's no greater love than anyone can have than that he lay down his life for his friends. In Jesus' name. How much of value is a single individual? How much do you value one single person in your life, apart from yourself? Perhaps we should ask instead, how valuable is one life in our Lord Jesus Christ? Would you give your life to help someone to come to know Jesus? There is a story that comes out of the Second World War. Two young men, 18, 19 years old, were drafted, and in basic training they came to know each other and to share with themselves each other's life. They trusted each other, learned to depend on each other, to love each other. One of them was a dedicated Christian who read his Bible every day and said his prayers. The other was an unbeliever. He didn't believe in anything. They oftentimes spoke about Christ, but the unbeliever had nothing to do with it. But yet they remained fast, close friends. Finally, they were sent over to France in the Second War against the German army. And one day they were on reconnaissance. They were crawling on hands and knees. The unbelieving friend was far ahead. The Christian friend was far back. And all of a sudden, the Germans began to shell. And the Christian buddy saw how his friend, his mate, had been hit, taken a shrapnel. He'd have been killed. So he gets up and runs and puts his own body over his friend, sheltering him, taking a shrapnel himself. And when the shelling was over with, mortally wounded, he rolled off. And his unbelieving buddy, with tears in his eyes, why did you do that? His Christian friend answered, because I know Jesus. I know where I'm going. You don't. And he died. Well, the unbelieving buddy was taken back to a base hospital in France, recovered. And after the war, he went to visit the father and mother of his Christian buddy who had saved his life. He walks up to the front door in a cane because he still has wound in the one leg. He knocks on the door. He introduces himself, and the father and mother welcome him in, joyfully so. And he tells them the story how their son saved his life. Not only my physical life, because of what your son did. Afterwards, for the first time as I lay in the hospital, I began to think of Jesus that he told me about, and I have become a Christian because of your son. Would you give your life to try to help someone to come to know Jesus? Not if we look to ourselves. Our old Adam is always tempting us to be selfish, to not think about anyone else but ourselves. And even as Christians, how often in our prayer life, how long a time do we spend praying for others to come to know Jesus in relation to how much we pray for ourselves? We're always putting ourselves first, aren't we? This is our sin as pastors, as professors, as student at the seminary. This is our sin. And we'll never even think about someone else, let alone to give our life if necessary to help them to come to know Jesus. Unless what? Unless, as we kneel at the cross in sincere repentance, and Jesus touches us with his love, overflows us with his love, and that love then moves us to love others like he loved us. And as we kneel at the cross and ask God, oh God, forgive us because of our neglect of always putting ourselves first and not others who don't know you, we begin to ask the question of ourselves, how valuable is my life to others? No, yes, but how valuable is my life to Jesus? It's when we realize how valuable our life is to Jesus, what he thought of us, how he put us first before himself. I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. And on the cross, before that cross in the Garden of Gethsemane? Did he put himself first? Well, he prayed to the Heavenly Father, "Oh Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done." He put you and me first, didn't he? At the expense of his own life. He took all of our guilt, all of our judgments, stood trial in our place before God's judgment seat. He was willing to forget totally himself in that bitter suffering on the cross where he paid for our sins. And as we look to that, and we hear from the cross the word that he spoke, now from heaven through word and sacrament, "Father, forgive them." And as we hear from the cross, now from heaven through word and sacrament, "Remember, I will remember you in paradise." That's the only source that can move us in the love of Jesus to do everything we can, to dedicate every moment, every breath, every prayer, as we pray for ourselves and live in this faith, to pray for others, to do everything we can to help them to come to know Jesus, right? Even to giving our life. How much is a single life worth in Jesus? You realize that when you and I know how valuable our life is in Jesus. Walter A. Meyer, the first Lutheran I'll speak, I was just a kid, but I remember he finished one sermon with these words. I'll put it in my own words now. "Would to God we had more Christians who would risk their lives to help someone to know Jesus. Would to God we had more Christians who would lose sleep at night because they know the next door neighbor doesn't know Jesus. Would to God we had more Christians who would refuse to go to work on a particular day, even at the risk of losing their own job, to visit someone in the hospital that they have been witnessing to no effect that they know of, and would do everything as to comfort them to point them to Jesus." And finally he said, "Would to God we had more Christians who would be willing to die right now for one Christian, for one person to become a Christian, and by such a death would point them to the cross." And then he said, "Would to God that were you and me." It is, isn't it? Not by our own will or strength, but by the overflowing love of Jesus that moves us to live, to die, to serve people that they can come to know Jesus. May we exhibit that love? God grant it.